Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. For so for real, tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio all across the nation. It's wonderful to be here today. I want to say big ups to everybody in Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Lincoln, and Omaha, Dallas, Texas, and, of course, your hometown here right here, Minneapolis, Minnesota. How you doing, co-producer Joanne Wade? How you doing?
Good afternoon. I am blessed.
Great, great. Today we're going to be talking about trauma and the effects that it has on the community. You know, I believe trauma has a serious impact and serious effect on the community. Matter of fact, I believe that what we have to do is really, really get ahead of this because it's causing so many problems for our community. If you think about it, many of us have been traumatized. I get traumatized every time I go to a homicide site. I get traumatized every time I do a vigil. And I get traumatized every time I see that somebody has died. How's trauma, how's all this trauma in the community affected you as a woman?
Actually, it does affect me because I went to a visual yesterday, and it actually brought feelings up for a couple of people that have died that I have not cried for. So it actually brought out that crying that you need to do. So it cleanses your soul at the same time. Once a month, I try to actually watch a tear-jerking movie to actually try to release that because you have to release it some kind of way.
Well, that's interesting because when you talk about being able to release the trauma, so many of us release it in negative ways, and we release that trauma by getting high. We release that trauma by getting violent. Release that trauma by robbing other people. There's so many things that we do to release trauma in our community, and we want to talk about ways that we can avoid it, which is, it seems like when you think about it, it's almost impossible to avoid trauma when you live in a neighborhood that's full of trauma. Yesterday, I took the grandkids, you know, we went to McDonald's, and you happened to be there with us, and a bunch of girls just running up and down, I mean, you know, and trying to fight each other. You know, I mean, it was trauma because you had to, then they all wanted to come in McDonald's and drink free pop. Mm-hmm. They had one cup, they were passing it around. And if I'm sure if somebody had said something, they would have gotten mad.
Yeah. They
would have got upset. Like, man, don't come in here. It makes you want to say, why don't y'all put the pop machine behind the counter?
Mm-hmm. It makes it bad for the rest of them that's actually paid.
You know, so, but think about the trauma that was put on with the grandkids sitting there and people just sitting there trying to have a hamburger and enjoy themselves. And you got people running up and down the street looking to fight. You don't know what they want, but you can see in their eyes
that they're starting something.
And you can see they had nothing. I mean, when you see people that are struggling, they don't have resources, they don't have, nobody loves them, they got all this stuff they're dealing with. You know, I felt really bad for them.
Yeah.
Because they were probably good kids, but living a traumatic life. So how do you help kids avoid trauma?
One way to do it is the middle-aged teenage kids, start having them do exercises with the younger kids in the household. That's one way of doing it. Make them responsible. When they're responsible for somebody else, they tend to help other people instead of just helping themselves. And that's one way of staying out of trouble because that's one thing I did when I was growing up. I had a 10-year-old sister that was under me and under my care. So instead of us going out and getting in trouble, I used to read to her, play with her, take her to the park, take her to the museum, take her to the library. I used to do different things with her. And she actually enjoyed that a lot better than just hanging out on the street. So we, our teenagers, if we make them responsible for somebody else or just responsible in general, they wouldn't be hanging out on the streets like they're doing and running up and down McDonald's parking lot trying to fight. And that's the new things that the kids are doing. They're Facebook fighting now. So I don't understand it or where it came from, but Facebook fighting is getting ridiculous now. And that's what the kids were doing yesterday. We were Facebook fighting. So they post things up on Facebook. They meet up at a location, and then they just break out into a fight.
Right. So the things are that I think are important is it's going to be complicated for us to avoid. But it looks like in many ways, talking about violent events is no different than talking to kids about another tricky topic. And for some parents, sexuality, the key is gradual exposure to information based on their cognitive level. So in other words, you got to watch what level your kids are in before you start talking about things. I think we share too much with folks, you know. I remember, my four-year-old granddaughter and how she takes words and takes them and turns them around and does whatever, you know. And I say stuff to her, and she'll say it to everybody. And not knowing that that's just a word I'm using for you. It's not, you know, I make up words sometimes, and she takes them and uses them. You know, I'm like, I just made that up. It don't really mean that. So I have to watch what I say because you have to watch what you say and how you communicate with kids. And you have to watch what you expose them to. So you don't have your kids, traumatic exposure, you don't have your kids watch X-rated movies over and over again. But if that's all you're showing in your house, and you say, well, that ain't nothing, that's not a traumatic experience. But it is. When you're showing something that is, kids aren't supposed to be watching that. You know, an interesting thing happened to me. I had my T-shirt on, and it was kind of to the side, so my little nipple was sticking out. And my grandbaby said, Papa. And she touched it right. And I said, oh, I know
wow.
This is funny now.
Wow.
You know, but I said, don't be touching. But it was just funny the way she did it. She was just being, but that was exposure, right?
Right.
It was exposure. It was just that for her, she seen it, and she knew it was something that was, you know,
she normally don't see on an everyday basis.
Right. So I usually cover myself up, but for some reason my shirt was to the side, and she just touches it, Papa. And so, you know, we had that experience. But what about those parents that expose their kids to X-rated videos and even expose them to watching them have sex and all that stuff? I've talked to kids that said, my dad made me watch, or my mom would make us watch. I can't fathom asking my kids to watch me do anything like that.
Yeah.
But I've heard kids say that they had to watch. What kind of effect do you think that had on them?
A traumatic effect. I didn't even let my kids hear cursing for a while. And I made sure that me and my husband did not curse around our kids. There were certain things you just don't bring into their life because it's not needed. It's not needed.
And so when you think about, we forget about how our kids see the inner world. Like, you forget about how your kids see stuff. And if you train your kids not to watch bad stuff, when they see it come, they'll cover their eyes.
Yes, they do, or turn their head.
But I remember we were helping a young man find a place. He was only like 13, and we let him stay at a certain person's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they got their cable bill, and he had ordered something like 27 X-rated videos. And the bill was like $600-something. Because he was so used to being exposed to that, and he found that he could be exposed to that, and so he used that as an opportunity to be exposed. And you think it, when you think about that kind of stuff, it's interesting how we as a community expose ourselves to traumatic situations. So what I'm saying is that parents, you have to be careful. You have to watch how you expose yourself.
Yes.
You have to watch who you expose yourself to, and you have to watch out how your kids learn from their inner world. The inner world is, you know, when you talk about traumatic exposure and people being exposed to something. I remember when I was young and I was in a foster home where they did hair in the basement, and the rest of the home was where I lived. And this female came up and said she wanted to show me how to play chicken. And next thing I know, she took it all the way. I had not been exposed to sex yet. I didn't know that, because I didn't really understand that males get raped, but that was rape.
Mm-hmm.
That was rape. And
That's how you play chicken?
Chicken. Yeah, you put your hand on somebody and then you say chicken and I'll stop, you know. And it's just a way of putting your hands on somebody. It's a little game you play, you know. Say chicken. You don't say chicken. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know that you have to say, when you say chicken, you stop, but you don't understand the game when you're young. You don't know what's going on. And eventually, no more chicken. We ain't playing that game no more. We're just going to get down to what we get down to. And so that exposure, everybody has exposure where they get traumatically exposed to something at a young age that I feel that takes away the innocence. It takes away who you really are. It takes away, you know, so it's, for me, it made me focus in on, because of that traumatic experience at a young age, I wasn't really thinking about it. I mean, I was into, you know, slow dancing and grinding with the girls at the, you know, turn the light out, you know, get a little grind. To me, that was sex. But then once I found out, no, it's really like you get to do stuff. You know, so once I found out that there was actually an act to this whole thing, then I was obsessed as a young boy. Like, I got to get more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it messed up the way I thought.
Yep.
It consumed my thoughts.
Yep.
I was trying to figure out, how do you get girls now? What's the rap? How do you close the deal so you can get some more of that? You know, I was consumed by that. And it was all because, and I never knew that it really until I got older, it was all because of the abuse and the traumatic experience. And so when you look at girls that are fast and hot, you have to think about what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Something
right.
usually happened.
Right.
Sandy, can you talk about a traumatic experience that happened to you when you were young?
I didn't have anything like that, but when I was in sixth grade, a friend and I were cutting through the woods with our bike, and there was a man in the woods who turned around and he exposed himself, and that was traumatic to me. I remember running home. We just dropped our bikes. We were in a panic, running home, and my dad happened to be home that day because he was sick and he was lying in the bed, and I told him, and he flew up out of the bed and, you know, took me to the police station, and, you know, but apparently there was a lot of construction going on around there, and there was two different men that were doing that with, you know, two little girls. So that was the trauma that I had as a young child. But that wasn't like being sexually abused.
But it had to be traumatic, because what did it do to you just to see something like that as a young girl? What did it change? It had to change either how you, you know, responded to strangers, how did it affect you?
I think I just tuned it out of my brain. So, you know, I would imagine that I didn't trust men as much, you know, because when you're a child, you're just kind of open, you know, and your dad and your uncles and neighbors and stuff, they all seem safe, but then all of a sudden there was that man.
Well, and you know, one of
my daughter-in-law, she was sexually abused for many years, and her two sisters by their stepfather, and I see that it has, I mean, she has a lot of issues.
Well, you know, when you're exposed to trauma, it doesn't help you in the rest of your life. There's so much that happens, and many of us want to hide it. Many of us want to hide the fact that we're exposed to trauma. We want to act like we're normal. We want to act like we got it going on. And then people wonder, why you snap? Or why you act like this? Or why you do this? Well, because you can't hold something in that's there. You know, it's anger. It's bitter.
I call it hatred. It comes out sideways, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And it comes out of you, even though people say, wow, she's so nice. But sometimes, because it's got to come out sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people need therapy, but they don't get it. They need counseling, but they don't get it. And for many of us, we don't even know what it is because nobody's ever set us down and told us this is what that is. You know, we don't know that what we're experiencing is because of things that happened to us in the past. Just like if you ask a little boy or a young man, 14 or 15, you miss your daddy and he's never seen his daddy? No, I don't miss my daddy. But if you ask him, wouldn't you love to have a man hold you? Wouldn't you love to have a man just take your hand and show you how to play baseball? Wouldn't you love to do what you see that daddy do with his son? He said, yeah, I love that. Then you do miss your daddy.
Yep.
You do wish your daddy was around. You know, for instance, when we talk about Diamond, you know, there's years that she's got missing that she knows she can't get back from her dad, but that she can establish something great now. And that feels a lot better than always had. There's a different feeling from like, oh, man, my dad can get it together, too. Yeah, we're getting it together, right? Mm-hmm. How does that feel now?
It feels good.
And how did it feel before, though, when nothing happened? How did you feel then?
Oh, betrayed. Hurt and wondering why. I felt like I wanted, like I've seen other girls talk about the things they did with their dad, and I wanted the same thing. So I guess, like, I wouldn't say jealous, but, like, I just wanted the same relationship. So. But it's better. It's getting better now. It feels good to be able to, you know, like this year I was able to actually say Happy Father's Day, then other just saying it to my mom. Usually I still said it to my mom, but usually I just say it to my mom, so I was able to say it to him too.
Let me get on the subject of that. So I'm a little confused. I need you women to help me. So we have Mother's Day. It's a great day.
Mm-hmm.
All the restaurants are full.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's getting cards. Everybody's getting presents.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And that's Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And all the mothers should be recognized. I applaud that, yay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But then we have Father's Day, and then mothers want to take that day too. It's not their day. Why, if you're not a father, why are we saying Happy Father's Day when you're not a father and you have your own day? It's just like, okay, Easter is for Easter Bunny, so you don't say Happy Easter on Christmas. You know, so why are we saying Happy Father's Day to mothers when they don't want to be fathers?
Because
they just want to be mothers.
That's because there's so many women that are doing both roles.
But you can't do both roles.
First thing, in my opinion, I don't think you should ever say Happy Father's Day to a mother.
But
there's certain things on a woman's body that we don't have as men. So you can't just step in that role and be a man.
Let me say this off. But wait a minute. A mother cannot be replaced.
Right.
A father cannot be replaced.
Exactly.
So if your mother is your mother, if your grandmother is your grandmother, these are great women. But a grandmother can't be a grandfather.
No.
And why do we keep trying to make women everything, but a man can only be one thing? Like, a man can't say, you know, yeah, on Mother's Day, hey, I'm the mother, say happy mother. No, we're not going to do that on Mother's Day.
We shouldn't do it.
We're not going to do that. But when Father's Day come around, you got all these women. Yeah, this lady going to make people say on Facebook, somebody better say Happy Father's Day to me. And I was like, for what?
Exactly.
You're not a
for
father.
What? You're not a father.
Well, I can speak to that because I got a divorce when my children were very little. And I had to be the mother and the father.
But your kids know.
I learned that because I have a daughter and then a son. The son's the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't be that father to my son because, you know, he gets to that place where he needs a strong man to kind of tell
right.
him, you know. And he's like 6'4", you know.
Exactly.
And, but, you know, women, I didn't ask to be put in that position.
Right.
And you know, all, thousands and thousands of women are in that position.
So, Diamond, come on over here because, you know, you're one of those women, isn't it? You're one of those women that...
That's the happy Father's Day to their mom.
Right.
All I really had was my mom. I know she's not my father, but me just having her, you know, like she... I know she can't be a man, but she played, you know, she was there. When my dad should have been there and helped me be strong with certain things, my mom had to do that. Or, you know, like, so... Her being there all the time and taking care of me, it was just like, it actually started off with like a joke, and then it's just something that we just kept on doing, me and my sister, because my sister never had her father in her life. She don't know who her father is because my mom was raped at the age of 15 by two men and one woman. I don't know why the woman was there, but so she don't know who her dad is. So my sister look at it as, that's my father. My mom is my father at the same time. So... That's why we say Happy Father's Day to our mom.
Well, I got John Turner City. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome John Turner City, Vice President, Executive Vice President of Urban Ventures. And, John, we're just asking questions. You know, on Father's Day, you know, you have people that, you know, we barely get acknowledged. Somebody said the other day, I was introduced as a speaker for Father's Day speech. And the guy said, talked to all the women, said, can you up your gifts, please? Up your gifts. Up your giving on Father's Day. We on Mother's Day gets everything. Fathers don't get nothing. But then all these people on Facebook are saying, all these women are asking me to say Happy Father's Day to me. No. You're not a father.
Nope.
What is this craze that's going on where women feel they got to be recognized, not only on Mother's Day, but on Father's Day, too?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that, John?
Well, I don't know what's going on with that. I think... people have gotten so used to saying that, and I tell them mothers that, you know, want to be father too, they don't really want to be father too. You know, you don't really want the problems that come with, you know, just being a dad and the things that you have to do. If you can be both of them, then one of them is lacking, okay? Or both of them are lacking. Actually, if you're trying to be two people at once, both of them are lacking. I'm very, you know, for a while I raised a single child by myself, my grandson. For 3 years, and I knew that he was lacking a mother. I knew that he needed a mother, and that's not why I went out and found a wife, but that's one of the reasons, you know, because I couldn't provide him what that woman, my wife, can provide him, and I wasn't going to try to. I have a hard enough time staying in my lane and being the best dad that I can be. So be the best of one thing that you can be, whatever God made you, okay? Case closed.
Well, John, I'm glad you answered that question. One more question for you, Mr. Turner. See, this trauma, this thing that's going on with trauma, people are so traumatized, man. They're holding it in. They're keeping it in. And what do we do about this trauma? People are so scared, so afraid in our community. They're traumatized in our community. They don't know what to do. What do we do, John? How do we help our community with all this trauma that's going on?
Well, first off, there's so many free services for trauma out there now. There's organizations that are just sitting around waiting for people to come in and talk about their trauma. If you don't talk about it, it's going to come out, okay? It's just like shaking up a pop can and stuff. Sooner or later, it's going to bust. And when it busts, then you're going to be trying to explain to the judge, I was under this pressure, and this had happened to me. That's trauma. So instead of waiting for something to happen, for the trauma to burst in you, Go get on the internet and Google free trauma services in your area, and I guarantee you somebody will sit down with you and talk to you privately about what's going on with you. There's a lot of people out there. In Minnesota, actually, every inmate that gets out of prison gets free counseling, but hardly any of them know about it. But, you know, I just found that out today from the Department of Corrections because they need some help. You know, prison is traumatic.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You just heard it from John Turner Seed. We've got... I don't know why Mom Teresa's on the phone, but she's on the phone, and she's supposed to be on the show. So we're trying to figure out what happened there. It looks like she hung up. But I believe that what John said is critical. John, and what you said about your son didn't grow up right because he didn't have his dad there. You know, me and John didn't really. John had his dad there, but we didn't have the right dads. I had foster dads. but they weren't the right dad.
Well, that was like my son. He didn't have a good father at all, and he taught the father, the so-called father, taught my son a lot of bad things that then shaped my son in certain ways that, you know, I would have been better off if I had been a single mother and a father hadn't have been in the picture. For about 6 years, he had a stepfather that, you know, he got a lot of good stuff from. But then that man, you know, after a while was gone too, you know, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I think every young man needs a good father role model.
Yes.
Not figure, not somebody just paying the bills.
Yeah.
Somebody just going to warm my bed up. No, you need a good role model. And that's why, like I told my husband when we separated, I said, I'm not going to put another man in your life. I'm not. Because you did such a wonderful job, I'm not about to change what you've taught them to let them listen to somebody else and mess up their whole world. Because we had morals when it came around our kids. There were certain things we didn't talk about. We didn't argue in front of them. And they needed a good, strong role model. And that's what the kids need nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the Billy Bob on the corner giving them the free drink or the free drugs. They need a good role model.
Well, and this is a good conversation, and no matter what we do, women run the world. We understand that. But the thing is that give us a day. Let us have our day.
Yeah,
You know, we'll give you your day, you know. And I think it's nice when – it was nice to see men – at restaurants, being taken care of and being treated well, that was good, you know. I was looking for that breakfast in bed, didn't get that, but I did get dinner.
I tried a lunch for you. You didn't get that.
No, I think that was great.
We tried.
That was great, you know. I had to. So when we talk about this trauma stuff and how we deal with trauma, we always have to talk about there's all kinds. There's racial trauma. There's sexual trauma. There's all kinds of different trauma. And so many times you have to identify what is the trauma that affected you. You know, family trauma, that's a serious trauma, not being able to have family. When you see great families, you know, you go, wow, we had a family like that. Look at that, you know.
But it isn't always what it looks like. You know, when you see that family that looks so good,
right.
You know, I came from one of those.
It looks good, but it's not really
but
good.
But it's not, yeah.
So what happens when you get somebody who says, you know, a lot of parents use this word, what happens in my house stays in my house.
Mm. So
my mom never did that, but I had a lot of friends who was getting molested by their stepdads or their dads or their uncles, and they didn't tell nobody. Because their parent told them what happens in their house stays in their house.
Now, that's sad, but historically that's what's happened. You know, is that we have been told that we have to keep everything in the family. And in order to do that, that means take the abuse and don't do anything about it, right? So when this lady at the beauty salon came upstairs and molested me, I really didn't know it was molested because she said it was a game, playing chicken. So, we played games, but when you play games, and then all of a sudden I got stuff shooting out. And what the heck kind of game is that?
I'm dying.
Right. So after that, I decided that, you know, I like playing games all the time. I'm going to play games every day if I can, you know. So I wanted to play the game. Chicken, let's play chicken. You know, and I think it's terrible. We got to break the cycle so there's no more secrets. Before we go, anything you want to share with the community before we go? Donnie.
Yeah, if you got trauma, just try to take care of you. Older, like, if you just older, you get some help. I feel like if you get some help, you can get not rid of it, but you can
Get help for it.
Well, speaking as a mother who raised her children, there's a lot of women, including myself, that don't want to be a dad but don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You do have a choice. Just be a mom. That's all you have to be.
Yeah, but there's certain things that
you can do.
I know. Especially when they're in their teens, they find that out.
Just give it up. You just, your mom is all you get to be.
For me, I would say, and I don't care what household you're in, see something, say something. Speak up, because I actually saved a 9-year-old girl that was under me that was being molested. And I went and told somebody in my school. By that night, she was pulled out the house.
Yep.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is, if you ain't a daddy, quit playing like it. Okay. Thanks for listening to Blog Talk Radio. We got you. We love you. Tune in next week. Florida, Iowa, Buffalo, New York, Pittsburgh, Nebraska, Iowa, Lincoln, Dallas, Minneapolis. We out.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the...